I'm just going to pray as we come around scripture this evening. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your kindness towards us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that as we come around your word, around the Bible this evening, Lord God, so may you, Lord God, open our eyes to see what you'd have us to see, Lord God. Help me as best as possible to relate what you've laid upon my heart to your people this evening, Lord God. Help me to exposit your words as best I can, Lord. But I pray more importantly that your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, would guide and direct, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive to you. Lord God, I pray that whatever I share this evening, that each of us here would be driven to search the scriptures to see if the things shared by myself are so, Lord God. That, Lord, ultimately all of us should bow down to you, Messiah. All of us should come under the authority of your word, Lord God. And, Lord, no human being is infallible. No human being is inerrant. But, Lord, your word is infallible. And your word shows us the Messiah, shows us how we should live, shows us how we should behave, shows us what we should believe as well, Lord God. So, Lord, as we go through your word this evening, help us, I pray. And may you open up our understanding. May you brood over us, I pray. In your name, Lord. In your name, Yeshua. Amen. Amen. So, praise also. I'm going to pick it up from verse 1. And we read this. It says in verse 1, and Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus, Yeshua, said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so the Lord has prophesied that the temple, which stood in his day in the first century, would ultimately be destroyed, would face destruction. And in verse 3, which I'm going to read in a moment, we're presented with three questions. And so in verse 3, these three questions are asked by the disciples in private. We read this, verse 3. It says, and as he, that is Yeshua, sat down upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? So that's the first question. So they ask him, when shall these things be? In relation to the destruction of Herod's temple, which was as it was called back then. And so Luke chapter 21 and from verse 20 roundabout actually deals with this question that the disciples asked. His first question, when shall these things be in relation to the destruction of the temple? And so in Luke chapter 21, which is the parallel to this, which fills in the gaps that Matthew leaves out, and he's done authorship of the Olivet Discourse. He's recording of it. Well, Luke fills in particular gaps. In verse 20, Yeshua tells his disciples this. He says, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. And in verse 24, it says that they shall fall, that is, the Jewish people shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, speak of the diaspora, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of Gentiles be fulfilled. And so this answers the question of when the temple will be destroyed, just as the Messiah prophesied. And Herod's temple took over 80 years to build. So Herod the Great began building the temple and constructing it around about 20 BC. Its construction was finished around about AD 64. And 6 years after it was constructed and the building work had been completed, it was destroyed in AD 70. And the Messiah Yeshua prophesied it would be destroyed 40 years before the event. That demonstrates who he actually is. But be that as it may, it came to pass. And if you go to Jerusalem today, as far as I understand from various people, you will see the boulders, the stones which made up the temple and which have been cast down. So they're actually the stones of the temple in the vicinity of Jerusalem. And some of the stones, the smaller ones, probably weigh up to 6 tons. The larger foundation stones weigh up to 600 tons. So apparently, I've been told, you can actually see those in the vicinity of Jerusalem, where the temple once stood on the Temple Mount, which is interesting. I think Amir Safati makes mention of that as well. But anyway, be that as it may, it continues, getting back to Matthew chapter 24. It continues with a further two questions in verse 3. And so the disciples have asked about the temple, and in verse 3 of chapter 24 of Matthew, they continue to say, to ask, what shall be the sign of thy coming? That's the second question. That's in regard to the Messiah returning. And then this third question is basically in relation to the end of the world. And so we've got these two final questions. So the first question was to do with the destruction of the temple. The second question is to do with the sign of the Messiah's return. And the last question, the third question, is to do with the end of the world. And then from verse 4 onwards, particularly from verses 4 to 14, but from verse 4 onwards, the Messiah, Yeshua, goes on to answer these two questions. So Matthew's gospel concentrates on these two questions: the sign of the Messiah's coming and of the end of the world. And then from verse 4 to 14, basically we have what could be called a double interpretation. First of all, these verses from verses 4 to 14 give us the general character of the present age from the time the Lord rose from the dead and ascended on high to heaven to the time when he returns. And so we've got the general character of this present age for the last 2,000 years. So the Bible actually tells us the characteristics, those hallmarks of the last 2,000 years or whatever. But secondly, so that's as an aside, but secondly, these verses, particularly from verses 4 to 14, apply in a specific way to the end of this age, to the end of this world system, if you will. And so these things are going to increase and intensify, and these things are going to begin to converge as we near the second coming of the Messiah and the end of this present world system. So we've always had these things. So we've always had earthquakes, we've always had wars, famines, pestilences. But as we get nearer, then these things are going to intensify, and the pressure is going to grow and so on. And so, picking up from verse 4, in regard to the Lord's return, the sign of his coming and the end of this present world system, this present age, if you will, it says this, verse 4, it says, Yeshua answered and said unto them, that is unto his disciples, take heed that no man deceive you. And so one of the things today is deception. So I believe, and so this is kind of in a sense my forecast based on scripture for this 2026 and the years to come. I believe deception is going to increase. I don't believe it's going to get better. It's actually going to increase in these last days. And I'm just thinking of 2025 with the BBC's misreporting of certain things. And so we know allegedly that Donald Trump is going to take the BBC to court. I've not heard anything more about that, but we know he's going to do that over a video which was taken, was spliced together in such a way as to infer or suggest that Donald Trump was inciting riot against the White House when he stepped down as president. He stepped down as president in 2021 following the American election of 2020. But we know from actually seeing the actual footage that wasn't true. It was the opposite he was actually saying, more or less. We know also there's been false reporting concerning Gaza and Israel, that Israel has been accused of genocide, which is not true. If Israel wanted to actually commit genocide, they've got the weapons and the wherewithal to do that. They haven't been doing that. In actual fact, they usually leaflet areas. Not only that, we know that civilian to combatant ratio is actually quite low. So some sources say that civilian to combatant ratio concerning Israel and Gaza has been one civilian to every one combatant. That compares to general world average, which is usually 8 civilians to one combatant. In the Afghan war, I think it was something like 4 civilians to one combatant. So it's actually been quite low, contrary to what's been reported in the mainstream media and the media in general. Also, we know that, the accusation of famine hasn't actually happened. In actual fact, there seems to be more obesity amongst people living in the Gaza Strip, and that's been shown by various false sources. The UN has mentioned that. You can go and research that yourself, whatever. So it's interesting. So there's been a lot of misreporting, fake news, I suppose we could call it. So we're in interesting times. Also, I think as we go through 2026, sadly, I believe there's going to be more deception in the church. So at the moment, if you go to a theological seminary and if you speak to most ministers who've been trained in theological seminary, they hold to something called preterism. Preterism is the belief, so you've got full preterism and partial preterism. Full preterism is the belief that all of Bible prophecy was fulfilled in the first century, including the second coming of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. That's full preterism. So all of the Bible prophecy has been fulfilled in full preterism, and the second coming happened 2,000 years ago. Well, if that happened 2,000 years ago, I don't know why there's not peace on the earth. To be honest, I don't know what on earth happened there. But then you've got what's called partial preterism, or future preterism, and that believes that all the prophecies of Scripture have been fulfilled, and so now we're just waiting for the Messiah to return. That's it. So there's no more prophecies to be fulfilled, just the Messiah to return, and that's been popularized by people like R.C. Sproul, who passed away around about 2017. There's Kenneth Gentry. There's also N.T. Wright or Tom Wright. So these people are partial preterists, and some of these people have a big influence on pastors today, on church ministers, on people training in Bible colleges and theological seminaries to enter into a ministry of some kind. And so as that happens, a lot of the publishing houses, I'm thinking of publishing houses like InterVarsity Press, and there are others like Erdmann's and so on. A lot of those publishing houses have tended to move towards preterism of some kind. Interestingly, the early body of the early church fathers, the pre-Nicene church fathers, which were there in the first few centuries following the disciples, would never have heard of preterism. It didn't exist. It came about in the 18th century roundabout. So it's relatively new. And so it wasn't something the early believers, the early disciples would have ever heard of. So it's a modern invention. But sadly, I believe that these things are going to grow in the body of the Messiah, in the church, sadly. And also, I believe there's going to be an increase in annihilationism that I'm sure most of us, sadly, if you're not, annihilationism is the belief that when you die, when the unsaved die, what happens is there's no everlasting punishment, so to say, but you're there for a time, you cease to exist. That's what annihilationism is. So there's no everlasting punishment for sins committed in this lifetime and so on. What happens is that when you're dead, you're dead. Basically, it's what humanistic evolutionists believe. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that. And so this has come into the church and it's growing. I don't know if you know people like Kirk Cameron. And Kirk Cameron used to evangelize alongside Ray Comfort, where he came out recently a few weeks back suggesting that annihilationism was a possibility. And so these kinds of things, these kinds of deceptions are going to come more and more into, I believe, sadly, the church. Also, replacement theology, which is the belief that church has replaced Israel, that's probably going to increase, sadly. And so we need to take heed and be aware that we're not deceived. And how do we protect ourselves from deception? We come back to Scripture, and we take Scripture in its straightforward meaning. And so it's always coming back to the Bible, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And I believe it's going to become more crucial as we go through 2026, and as we pass into the coming years, so to speak. Anyway, so it carries on, verse 5. It says, "For many shall come in my name, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of the Messiah, saying, I am Christ, I am Messiah, I am the Anointed One, and shall deceive many." And so there's going to be many people who will have a messianic quality to them, or who will claim to be the Messiah, or other people will say that's the Messiah, which is interesting. And I think that's going to, again, increase as we go through this year. For instance, in the modern era, so I'm talking about the 20th century. I'm sure most of us would have heard of Haile Selassie, who was basically the emperor or king of Ethiopia. And the Rastafarians claimed he was the Messiah. Now, he never claimed to be the Messiah, but a lot of people, Rastafarians, claimed he was the Messiah. Again, that was false. That was a lie. You've got Sun Myung-moon, who was the founder of the Unification Church, popularly known as the Moonies. Again, he claimed to be Jesus Christ. He claimed to be the Messiah, and he claimed his wife was the Holy Spirit, or whatever. That's a false Messiah. You've got, I'm sure most of us may remember David Koresh in the Waco, Texas massacre. Again, he claimed to be the Messiah. He founded the seventh branch Davidians, which was a sect of Seventh-day Adventism, but nonetheless he claimed to be the Messiah. We have political leaders today who are seen as Messiah because they have a messianic following, and so people think of Donald Trump because Donald Trump's followers are very devoted to him, and he has a kind of messianic pull for those people. Some people believe that Vladimir Putin in Russia has a messianic following, if you will. And the Ukrainian church has denounced Vladimir Putin, actually declared him or said he is an antichrist. So that's the Ukrainian church, because Vladimir Putin believes he's carrying out a holy mission in invading Ukraine and so on. and want to restore the former Soviet Union geographical boundaries of Russia, if you will, and their kingdom. Then you've got some people where I'd say a lot of conspiracy type stuff, where some people say, "Oh, King Charles III of UK, he's going to be the Antichrist." You've got people saying Emmanuel Macron is going to be the Antichrist. You've got Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, and people saying, "Oh, he's going to be the Antichrist." We don't really know, to be honest. But you've got all these candidates. Today, you've even got individuals right now who claim to be Jesus Christ or the second coming of Jesus, and that's right now. And I was looking at this earlier on today. You've got a guy called Apollo Kwaboli, who founded the Kingdom of Jesus Christ in the Philippines, and he claims to be the appointed Son of God. So that's right now. So this is happening today. And you've got a guy called A.J. Miller, and A.J. Miller leads the Divine Truth Movement in Australia, and he claims to be Jesus Christ in the flesh. You've got a guy called Jeff Devine, also known as Jeff Iron, who's co-founder of Twin Flames Universe, and he claims that historical depictions of Jesus are actually of himself as the second coming of Christ. So right now there are many people who don't, they're not public figures as such, but they claim to be Jesus or the second coming of Jesus. That's happening now. Also, don't forget the Pope. I mean, the Pope's title is Vicarius Christus. That means that he is really the mediator between God and man, and Vicarius Christus in Koine Greek, that is a New Testament Greek, would be translated as Antichristos, which in English is Antichrist. It's the same difference. Vicarius in place of, anti in place of, Christus, Christos, Christ. And so that's actually one of the Pope's titles, apart and also Pontifex Maximus, which is the great bridge builder. So he's the bridge between God and man as well, and so on. So don't forget him. Anyway, continuing in verse 6, it says, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And right now there's wars and rumors of wars. And depending on the sources, there are as many as maybe 30 to 59 major state-based conflicts happening right now, today. That's higher rate than since World War II. So more wars are happening now. It's building up. Some people say there's over 100 conflicts happening right now. One thing I looked at places it is 130 conflicts worldwide. Now, some of those are state-based conflicts, some of them are just civil war type conflicts, but nonetheless, there's many conflicts, wars going on right now. One World Data, which is an organization, reports that there is at least 150 armed conflicts occurring annually. So it's increasing. So we're getting an increase of wars. We're getting an increase of rumors of wars. You can't get a more up-to-date book, really, than the Bible. Now, the Lord gave us a heads up, in a sense, 2,000 years ago. He's given us the character of the age, but he's given us signs that they're going to increase and come closer together as we come nearer to the return of the Messiah and the end of this present world system. It carries on in verse, getting back to verse 6, excuse me, when we see all this stuff happening, and sometimes we'll skip over this, but it tells us in verse 6 that we're not to be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we're seeing this happen now, but we're told clearly the end is not yet. These things are pointed towards what's coming in the future, but don't be troubled. So if you get troubled by watching the news, what I suggest is you turn it off. Because I know some people get anxiety over it. Some people get worried about it. I mean, I'm one of those people. I don't really, it doesn't concern me. I don't get worried at all. But everyone's different. So I suggest if you get worried and anxious about this, don't be troubled. There's an off button on your TV. Just turn it off or turn it over. Watch something lighter, something more upbeat. But nonetheless, we need to be aware of what's happening as believers and as people who know that these things are pointing towards the soon return of the King of Kings and God of glory. And take heart, the end's not yet. Hallelujah. The end's not yet. So we've got things to do. We've got to share the good news of the Messiah, Yeshua, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're wondering why the end's not yet, it's because we've got to share the gospel, really, ultimately. That's why you're here, to pray and to share the good news that the Messiah came into the world to save sinners. And praise God, along with Paul, I was the greatest, but praise God, he saved me. He saved you. So what a wonderful savior we have. Anyway. Getting back to this stuff, it says in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation." Again, we've got that now. We've got an increase in racism, particularly anti-Semitism. And that's worldwide at the moment. Even though we've got this so-called peace plan, which is meant to be being implemented by Donald Trump concerning Gaza. We've got an increase of segregation in some parts of the United Kingdom. So there are places up north where it's dominated by one particular people group who tend to be of one particular religion. There are parts of London like that as well, sadly. We've had an increase in Sharia courts and so on. So this is happening. I've heard of various stories in Whitechapel where people have been told by vigilante groups to go home because of how they're dressed and things like that. And I've heard other things as well. But, you know, these things are happening in the United Kingdom. And I would probably, it wouldn't surprise me if it's happening right across the Western speaking world. So or the Western world, excuse me, so to speak, in the English speaking world. And it carries on in verse 7. It talks about nation against nation. It talks about kingdom against kingdom. And again, we can see this happening in our time, that we've got, I suppose you could call it an axis of evil, where you've got Russia, China, Iran, but we don't know what's going to happen with Iran at the moment because there's a rise up of the people. And, you know, I'm praying and hoping that they get good governance there. But who knows what's going to happen? You've got North Korea as well. And so you've got this axis of evil, if I can call it that, with some other nations which are coming in confrontation against the West and against the English-speaking world, against particularly the United States of America, the United Kingdom. You've got the European Union. And I suppose you could include amongst Western nations, countries like Australia, which are English-speaking, Canada as well. And so you've got this confrontation between the East, between East and West. You've got Russia seeing itself as standing against the NATO and against Western nations, which it sees as encroaching upon land which should belong to Russia. Speaking of Ukraine, you've got China circling Taiwan, wanting to bring Taiwan into China. So we've got a lot of things happening right now in the world. Like I said, I mentioned the Iranian people. We don't know what's going to happen there, but we need to pray for Iran right now. We need to pray that the Iranian Republican Guard Corps are defeated or fall. We need to pray that Ayatollah Khomeini is deposed as well, and that those poor people have some form of peace brought to them. So we can pray for that in 2026. We know that it's been an internet blackout, so to speak, a communications blackout. But be that as it may, we need to pray for those people. A lot of ordinary Iranian people, in actual fact, are not hostile towards Israel or the Jewish people. Oh, and we need to remember that. So we need to pray for these people, that the Lord emancipates them from a terrible dictatorship, so to speak. So in verse 7, we also have mention of kingdom against kingdom. We have mention of famines. And so that's interesting, famines. What causes famine? Well, war and economic collapse. And right now, the world is teetering on the brink of World War III and also economic collapse. It's interesting, since COVID lockdowns, I go to my supermarkets, you get a lot more empty shelves now. So I think we're still probably recovering from the effect of lockdowns in some supermarkets. So I could see that in my local Sainsbury's, which is, I think, the biggest Sainsbury's in Europe. It's massive, basically. But there you can see sometimes there are shelves which are empty. And so I think they're still trying to catch up with stocks which were held back from the COVID lockdown period, I would have thought, more than likely. Maybe it's caused logistical problems. I don't know. I'm not an expert on these things. But anyway, be that as it may, there are several places in the world which face imminent famine or the risk of famine throughout 2026 and onwards. And so we've got Gaza, which was mentioned earlier, and that's because of Hamas and groups holding food back. And so that's going to cause a knock-on effect. We've got the Sudan and southern Sudan, which have been in conflict. We've got Haiti, Mali, and so on. We've got Afghanistan. We've got the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which has been in a continual state of civil war, so to speak. We've got Nigeria as well, which is at risk of famine. Somalia, the Syrian Arabic Republic as well, as it's now called, is at risk of famine. So we've got the threat of famine increasing in our lifetime. And if the Bible is true, we'd expect this, really. No, we'd expect, if the Bible and is God's word, we would expect these things to happen. and to intensify as we get nearer towards his soon return. And then we carry on in verse 7 still. It speaks of pestilences. And pestilences is interesting because, as I mentioned COVID earlier, we've still got HIV, which has been ongoing. You know, it hasn't stopped. I mean, tens of millions have died from that. They're still ongoing. And so we've still got that, I suppose you could say, is a pandemic happening right now. We've got various viral outbreaks. And I was looking at, again, I was Googling various things this afternoon. And again, the Democratic Republic of Congo is dealing with a monkeypox outbreak, which is increasing and began in 2024, but it's escalating. There's also the threat of Ebola breaking out in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We've got, again, the Sudan, southern Sudan, has got a risk of a cholera outbreak. We've got Ethiopia, which is vulnerable to disease outbreaks. We've got Colombia, which has had a reemergence of yellow fever, and that's triggered a major outbreak. And this is happening right now. And if the Bible is true, I would expect it to continue, sadly. Interestingly, the United States of America is facing various things. So there's been an increase worldwide of measles, but America's been particularly hit domestically with measles, apparently. But not only that, there's been an outbreak of avian flu amongst dairy herds, amongst cows. And there's a fear in America that avian flu could cross over species to humans and cause an epidemic amongst humans in America, even though they've got quite a good health service infrastructure over there, apparently. And so America's facing potentially an epidemic of some sort. And again, that's happening right now. And on the basis of scripture, I'd expect it to happen. If God's word is God's word, and if we read it in its straightforward, plain sense, that's what's going to happen. We've also got earthquakes mentioned. So we've got mention of famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And Luke speaks of great earthquakes. So these aren't ordinary earthquakes. These are great earthquakes. And again, the United States Geological Society has told us that since the 1900s or thereabouts, there's been 16 major earthquakes per year up to the present. Now, 15 of those major earthquakes have been on 7 magnitude on the Richter scale or up. One of those earthquakes is usually 8 on the Richter scale or even higher. That's today. Now, interestingly, over the last 40 to 50 years, there's been an increase. There's been a dozen more of these instances, at least over the last 40 to 50 years. And so we're getting more intense earthquakes and more things happen in regard to that. Earthquake tremors may be increasing due to several reasons. So several reasons why this may be happening. One of the reasons is that there's been a variance in the Earth's rotation. So, you know, the Earth's on an axis, it rotates, it spins around, where it's fluctuating and changing. And that may be leading to buildup of energy in the Earth's underneath the crust, and it erupts now and again. It has to come out somewhere, so it comes out as tremors. That's one explanation. There's a lot of man-made earthquakes through fracking. So if there isn't proper planning and things put in place for infrastructure to carry out these things, then you end up basically with man-made earthquakes. That includes with mining. If they pump gas out of the ground and they don't fill the cavity with something, that can lead to tremors as well. And so some of these things are actually man-made due to bad planning. So when people talk about fracking, I agree with fracking as long as it's planned and done properly. So these things need to be planned for properly. A lot of scientists believe that the Earth is actually cooling. So, you know, I don't think scientists can make up their minds really, but some say we're getting hotter, but some are saying that the planet is actually cooling. And as a result of the cooling, this is leading to a contraction of the Earth's crust, which has led to volcanic disturbance leading to earthquakes. So we've got those things as well. Another reason earthquakes have probably increased, and it's quite simple, is that with modern seismic detection equipment, they can pick up more tremors. It's as simple as that. So some of it is due. So it's not to say these things haven't always been there. What it is to say is that with modern technology, we've got seismic devices that are used by geologists which can pick up more tremors than they could previously. So that could be a factor as well. But be that as it may, we're getting earthquakes in diverse places. I think in the United Kingdom last year, we had 2 or 3. or whether it's got reported. But praise Lord, be that as it may, I would expect that to happen. I'm sure we would all expect it to happen if the Bible is the word of God. It carries on verse 8 to tell us that all these things are the beginning of sorrows. So it's just the beginning. The end's not yet. Hallelujah. But these things should cause us to look up and think, hallelujah, the Messiah is coming soon. He's on his way. Include amongst the birth pangs in Luke chapter 21, which I find fascinating. In Luke chapter 21, and as mentioned earlier, that this is the parallel to Matthew's account. This fills in the gaps, so to speak, the things that Matthew leaves out and that Mark leaves out in chapter 13. So they all record the same sermon, the same Olivet discourse, but from different angles. And so they fill in, so you get a more complete picture. And in Luke chapter 21, in verse 11, and I alluded to it earlier, it speaks of there shall be great earthquakes in diverse places. There will be famines and pestilences. And I always find it fascinating what comes up next. It says in verse 11, there shall be fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. And so Luke adds this to this beginning of birth pangs. And interestingly, in America and Russia and China, they're taking celestial phenomena in the atmosphere seriously. So for instance, there's been an increase in recent years, or particularly since World War II, in what are called unidentified anomalous phenomena. That's just a fancy way of saying unidentified flying objects, UFOs. And in America, they've actually had congressional hearings concerning phenomena in the atmosphere that can't be explained. And so you've had military pilots, fighter jet pilots, and so on, reconnaissance pilots, not just in the United States, but in Europe as well, who've seen things that just can't be explained. And interestingly, the US government set up a website, which is called, if I can remember, it's called the All Domain Resolution Office. And you can go and look at this, and you've got loads of films on there taken by military, with military cameras, infrared cameras, and some of these things are resolved. So you've got things which say resolved. And so it might be birds, it might be weather balloons, it might be a satellite, it might be Venus or whatever it is. But they've got a whole load there which are unresolved, which they just simply can't explain. And this is increasing, interestingly. Ultimately, I believe it's part of the deception that, ultimately people get sucked into, and there'll probably come a natural explanation at some point. But in the meantime, if there doesn't, or if there's things which really cannot be explained, I believe the ultimate source is demonic, ultimately. And yet a lot of people are getting caught up with this and getting distracted from the reality of who the Messiah is. And so you've got these things going on. What's it called? NASA is also investigating these things which happen, which cannot be explained. Russia's doing the same. China's doing the same. The government in the UK kind of ridicules it, which I find interesting. But a lot of these people are taking it seriously with the idea of reverse engineering, if it is what they think it is. But like I said, I don't think it is what these governments think it is. I think it's basically demonic, if you want my view on that. You've also got that, but it was also last year. There was a comet, an interstellar comet, which was absolutely humongous. I can't remember the size of it, but it was 3i Atlas. And so a lot of scientists were watching this because they thought, what is this? And they were concerned because it might potentially have caused problems for the planet Earth, this planet we live on. And so a lot of scientists are keeping an eye out for asteroids or comets which could actually impact Earth and wipe out life as we know it. Again, a lot of people look into the skies, look into the heavens, and so on. And so Luke makes mention of that. Getting back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. It continues, verse 9, in relation to the birth pangs, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's addressing disciples, believers. It says, verse 10, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And right now, since 2009, there's been maybe 45,000 Christians killed by Fulani herdsmen in Nigeria. That's Barnabas Fund. There was something I looked at called Genocide Watch, and it puts the figure nearer to 60,000. Other sources I've looked at has put it up as high as 100,000. They're not really sure how many Christians have been killed by Fulani Herdsman or by Boko Haram. And yet that's happening right now. Four out of five every religious persecutions are against Christians, according to Open Doors. That's massive, really. So some of that may be people who are killed for their faith. Some of that are people who are just persecuted or pushed out their jobs for their faith or find it difficult to carry out their profession, whether it's teaching or whatever. But nonetheless, four out of five religious persecutions are against Christians. Now, I think that's absolutely staggering. And again, that was Open Doors, which have made mention of that. So anyway, it's going to happen. It's going to increase. But, praise Lord, lift your head up. Messiah is coming. He's on his way. But, one of the things which has changed. So we've always had these things. They're intensifying. But the big thing which changed everything, and I believe which has led to this intensification, is the birth of a nation, Israel. We always had these things, but the thing which changed, particularly after World War II, was the birth of Israel, the re-emergence of Israel as a country against all odds. If we, in chapter 24 and verse 32, we read this, and this is part of the Olivet Discourse, and the Lord gives the parable of the fig tree, and the fig tree is the traditional symbol in the ancient world, particularly of Israel, the national privileges of Israel. And in verse 32, the Lord said this to his disciples: learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. What's near? The coming of Messiah and the end of this present world system. That's where everything is building up to. So if the Bible is true, which I believe it is, I would say that as we go through 2026, there's going to be more deception, more of these things listed are going to happen, as particularly over 2026 and over the next few years, that these things should cause us to take heart. The Messiah of Israel is on his way. It's a miracle. Think of it. A nation ceased to exist for 2,000 years. Now, I've been told by people that if the people do not have a nation for a few hundred years, they cease to be an identifiable people group as such. And yet the Jewish people have maintained their identity against all odds, and they're the only nation which have come back into being after being extinct, fulfilling Bible prophecy. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Can a nation be born in one day? And the answer is yes. That's one of the greatest miracles, which people don't think of as a miracle. And people say it's a political accident or whatever, but it's actually a miracle which was prophesied in scriptures by Isaiah 700 years roughly before Yeshua came, his first coming. I think that's absolutely astounding. For most of the prophecies, if we take scripture and its straightforward reading to happen, Israel has to be in the land. Why an increase in anti-Semitism or anti-Jewish hatred? Because I believe there is a real devil and he wants to stop the return of the Messiah. And so he probably thinks that by wiping out Israel and by trying to wipe out the Jewish people, he can stop that. But it's not going to happen. Because as long as there's a sun above, the moon, as long as the foundations of the earth cannot be searched out, the Lord will keep his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I trust God's word. I believe God's word. I believe the Bible, the Hebrew scriptures, that's the Tanakh and the Newer Testament. And if this is God's word, then we should expect it to come to pass. We should expect things to intensify because the Lord is on his way. And and I'm going to finish on this point. Like I said, as we go through, it's going to get worse. But for those who love the Messiah, those who've confessed the Lord Yeshua and believe God raised him from the dead, then he's coming for you and I. One day he's going to receive us to himself, as scripture tells us. John chapter 14 tells us that from verses 1 to 3. He's coming for you and I. And the one we serve is the only God that tells us how everything came into being and tells us where everything is headed to. He's the only God who can do that. And Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 to 10 make that clear. He is the Lord, there is no other. And I would suggest that we're to know this stuff for one reason. I'm going to finish right on this night. I promise I will finish. This stuff's important because it should stir us to want to share the good news of Messiah. with Jewish people first, but also to Gentiles. Now, it should stir us and say, hallelujah, the Lord is coming. And you know, this is the worst it's ever going to get for you. As a follower of the Messiah, whatever problems you face now, whatever hardship, this is the worst it's ever going to get to, for you, because the best is yet to come. But you know, just thinking this for a moment, if people do not know the Messiah, this is the best it's going to be for them. It's not going to get any better. This is the best. So you might have trillionaires, millionaires, people who have a comfortable life right now. That is the best it's ever going to be for them, because there is a God to answer to. And we approach him through the Messiah. And so, as I said, I promise I'm going to end right there. I'm just going to close in prayer. Praise God. So let me just close in prayer. And we praise you, Lord God. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for this opportunity to share with your people. And I pray, Lord God, that everyone here would, Lord, go back to the scriptures, search these things out to see if they're so, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a blessing to those around us. I pray that as we go through this new year, as we go through 2026 into the following years, Lord God, as you will, Lord, so help us to be good witnesses to who you are. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. Help us, Lord God, to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and help us to shine ever brighter. And Lord, to be people of hope, Lord, because above all things, we should be people of hope, because we know the beginning from the end through scripture. So Lord, may you help us to be a blessing to you in all we do. I pray this in your name, Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Well, praise Lord. So.